The classic move. Every one of us who was ever unpopular knows how we got out of it. We admitted that we had shitted ourselves.
Man saw Draymond getting more attention. He said, "Hey, by the way, I pooped myself."
When I was getting bullied in middle school, that's what I did. I was just like, "By the way, everybody, I pooped myself in 7th grade." And they're all just like, "Wow, dog, respect for admitting that."
Yo, that's hard.
For real, though.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to Full Court Mess, the hottest basketball hot takes podcast. The hottest takes, the hottest thoughts, opinions, boys, hottest weather, summertime, hottest basketball. I'm Jared, your local warm weather hater.
I am Joe, your local bad boy with a heart of gold.
Ooh, I'm Will, your local sad boy from watching basketball.
Yep.
Yeah. We're bummed out over here, folks.
Yep. And that's the show. Thanks for tuning in.
But as bummed as we are, we're still enlightened. I've been getting really into reading Kyrie Irving Instagram posts.
I thought you were going to say fan fiction.
Ooh, that too. It basically is one and the same. So I just thought I'd share one of them with all of you and our wonderful listeners. So we can all reach that next astral plane with Kyrie. This one is just, I won't describe the picture too much because I don't really know what it is. It's a circle with a Star of David with an eye inside of it, I think. But Kyrie said, "My intuitive truth. I am grateful for my time capsule on this motherly earth. I am grateful I'm constantly in search for more knowledge about life, the world, and myself. I am learning the purpose I have in this universe. I will only use it for greatness. I look up and look within. There are angels, guiding spirits, and synchronicities all around me. I awaken to the beauty of growth and patience. I love and live freely. Happiness is inside. 27, stamp it. Mom, I love you. To my family, power is inside."
He said that?
All of it.
When?
This was 11 weeks ago.
What?
On his birthday, it would appear, right?
Yeah, that must be why he said 27.
Oh, he was popping some crazy stuff on his birthday.
Most of these are kind of like this. The videos are pretty tame caption-wise, but the pictures go pretty nuts. Just from a week ago, he has one where he's with a pal, and they're doing a little cheers, and it starts off with, "Hermetic Friends Incorporated, my light brothers and sisters." So,
wow, this man's been doing ayahuasca for his birthday.
"The age of no more secrets is upon us. World peace will be achieved in our lifetime, and we better effing believe it."
Is DMT on the banned substances list?
Kyrie is just auditioning to get on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Sounds like one of those guys that was on that show, The Pickup Artist. Remember that show?
Yeah.
Teaching awkward guys how to like pick up girls, and sounds like he's like the deep sensitive one that everyone's like, "Yeah, man, we get it."
That would be a great idea for like a show like Queer Eye. Have like one of them be Kyrie and just have like 5 of them be reasonable and totally about improving your life, and then one who's just clearly batshit, and everyone's like, the guy just like keeps looking at him and looking at the other 5 and like, am I supposed to listen to this guy or is this like comic book? Or
Kyrie's role is like the Instagram influencer, the like caption writer for your posts.
One guy's like, "You need to iron your shirts," and the second goes like, "I'm gonna teach you how to make guacamole," and then Kyrie just goes, "Open your third eye, brother, and overstand." I feel like the rest of this was like applicable advice.
Imagine getting crossed over and like as you're falling, or maybe as the guy who crossed you over is waiting for you to get back up before he shoots. He's just saying, like, your third eye, bro. Open your third eye, bro.
Ooh, that's a good one. Would you rather be trash-talked by Kawhi after we learned what his trash talk is like, or would you rather be trash-talked on the court by extremely woke Kyrie?
Kawhi.
Why?
Kawhi. Just
say no over and over to you as he steals the ball and scores.
Just okay,
no.
Fine. That's fine. No, bucket. That's fine.
Bucket.
Kyrie telling you that your chords are misaligned and you simply do not understand enough of the universe to stop his dribble heavy.
Boardman gets paid.
Boardman gets paid with exceptional knowledge and power.
None of us are getting paid, brother.
It is us who pay.
That'd be kind of fun. No, maybe that's why he's so good at dribbling, is he's talking to people and they get really confused and distracted by what he's saying. And then they just forget to defend. He's just rattling off insane things, and then there's like so confused that he can dribble around in circles however he likes.
We're on to you, Kyrie. If this isn't the case, come on the podcast.
Think about who stopped him in the playoffs. The Bucks. Maybe the Bucks are very like anti-philosophy, and when he started to spout his teaching, they just shut it out.
I feel like Eric Bledsoe individually is very anti-philosophy.
And Giannis has spent the past like 4 years being either obsessed with smoothies or a button that he can hit to get a blowjob. So he hasn't shown a lot of signs of like deep thinker written all over him yet.
Whomst among us. Finals are happening.
We are in the final part of the NBA season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
One or two more games left. Hopefully two.
Hope for two. It would be a really nice going-away present for Oracle for...
to get that last win.
Golden State to force a game 7.
Ooh. I would love that.
It is funny. I wonder if y'all have any games that really, like, jump out off the top of your head. But I was thinking when I was watching the game last night, I was watching it, and for the most part, if I could forget about what happened to KD, I was pretty amazed. Like, I thought it was spectacular theater to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, like how a lot of people think about game 7 of the 3-1 comeback finals. Like, that game was very, really pretty poor from basketball standards because everyone was so tense. But it was really good theater. Like, yeah. It was an incredible narrative in front of you. And that's why I thought, like, the intensity yesterday was so unreal that even when the basketball got kind of iffy, I kept saying, this is amazing. This is spectacular. But I was curious if y'all, like, off the top of your head, could remember one of those really high-intensity games where, like, the level of basketball – what's, like, the last time we had one of these great games where, like, the level of basketball was actually that good?
There's always a lot of last year's series against the Rockets. Are we talking in general or like Oracle?
Yeah, no, just in general. Okay. Even the one with the Rockets, are like when you got down to like the tense ones, the game 7, it got decided because the Rockets missed 27 threes in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ones that kind of jumped out to me, a first thought were Klay's game 6 versus the Thunder.
Oh yeah.
I thought the Thunder were playing really high level basketball in that series, and that was just the Warriors played better.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I kind of went all the way back to Spurs Heat, like 2013.
I was about to say Spurs Heat 2013 was a damn show.
Yeah, and I didn't watch basketball the same way, so maybe I'm just like blocking out the parts where it was like lower quality and just remembering the big moments. But I seem to recall that being like just in incredible execution over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, this was a few years ago, but when Dame closed out that series against the Rockets.
Yeah.
That last game, that whole game was fun. And then like, the Dame ender.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't remember
cherry on else. That was just a cherry on top.
That's all I remember. That's funny.
I mean, but, that's fair.
Yeah, it was just such a, yeah, that's not an indictment of the ball being played. It's just that moment was so unreal.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. It was really kind of chilly. And I was thinking, I wonder if some of it's just like a Warriors thing where the only way that teams know how to deal with them is to like slow them down and gunk them up as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it naturally creates kind of uglier. If it gets close, it's naturally uglier. Because if you're letting the Warriors play good basketball, you've probably already lost. Like, it's probably not close.
Yeah, and if you can slow them down, then they just panic, and then they really try to force fast play.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get, like, a lot of turnovers. A lot.
It's wild, though, like, 1 to 2 times a year, it actually starts to feel like they're panicking a little bit and starting to force the threes.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Steph missed those like 4 or 5 threes in a row before he hit 2 huge ones or 1 huge one.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. It really felt like, oh God, this, I haven't felt this since 2016. And then they were just like, actually, no, we're going to win this game.
I'm not gonna lie. I was pretty scared for a minute, but like, I knew like 6 points, they can definitely, 6 points is very doable for this team.
Yeah. All they have to do is get 3 2-pointers.
Yeah, and then they need to not have Boogie turn it over 2 times.
They said, what was it, like in the last 30 seconds of that game, Draymond had a backcourt violation, Boogie had a goaltend and an offensive foul, and they still won.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
That can't feel good for the Raptors.
No. The Warriors are so, they look so like spent that I thought it was dumb. All the people who said it was like a must win for the Raptors. They've already won a couple in Oracle. I'm not saying they'll necessarily do the third, but the Warriors officially don't have Kevin Durant now. And they've had a lot of trouble with him when, because they get tired. They have like 3 guys who are playing really good ball.
Yeah. They get very tired. Looney also is not, he cannot do a lot of minutes right now. He got hurt again. He hurt, same injury.
Yep. So they're beat to hell. So I don't think anything was like a must win or anything like that. But it does stink. I mean, they were, if you're in on the Raptors, they were 2 minutes away from a championship, and it felt like all the momentum was on their side.
Yeah, it was weird. After the game, they're showing, you know, fan reactions in the stands, and there's some people were crying. And I was like, dog, you're still up in this series. Only once has, you know, the 3-1 deficit, you know, turned around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to cry yet.
I gotta say though, I think, of course, they'll try to do this. This is a stupid statement on its own, but I think they should try to make sure they win in a game that's not that close, because I don't think I could trust anyone against the Warriors in a close game. Like, the way they closed out the one that they managed to fight and claw and close out the one last night, at this point, like, the Raptors better win by 10 when they close out this series, or else it's going to feel like the Warriors are still pulling out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Draymond, that final play, Iggy rotating up for the double team, and then Draymond still guarding 2 guys and still managing to block Kyle Lowry's championship winning 3.
Woo!
Was incredible.
That was awesome. That made me happy for the first time that night. Actually, I mean, I was happy when the game started. I guess we'll get to KD now. KD started the game really well.
Yeah,
he looked good. He looked really good.
That first quarter was that rare high-level Cooper, like, tense basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both teams were shooting the hell out of the ball, and KD was reining it in.
I mean, the Warriors started 5 for 5 from 3?
Yeah. And it was close, and they like, weren't up by a ton.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. It was fun. KD brought the shit talk back.
Oh, I loved when he started shit talking Fred VanVleet.
Even the ref went up and started laughing, which was a huge relief, too. Because that was Ed Malloy, right? And he always calls text for that. So that was good.
Yeah.
I think that's what gets lost with the injury, is that it's not like KD was like hobbling out there and like, oh, clearly he shouldn't be out there. Like, he looked good. He looked dominant in the first quarter, and then he just put a move on, and his leg gave out, more or less.
And, you know, it's funny because before the game started, they're showing KD resumed his normal pregame ritual with the team in the hallway where he dances. Mm-hmm. And he was dancing like crazy, doing some leg work. And people on Twitter were like, oh, you know, he wouldn't have been able to do this if he wasn't, you know, if he was just truly hurt and all this shit. And
no one in their right mind would dance. Like, if I coming off an injury.
Someone said, if I were a Warriors fan, I'd be pissed seeing this. And it's like,
in the dancing video, Sean Livingston looked worried.
And so those takes did not age well.
Yeah, anyone.
Do they ever age well?
No, but
all the good moves without injuries.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw the video. There's like another angle from behind his leg.
Yeah, where it's noticeable that something happens to his leg.
Yeah, like something snapped in there or something.
Non-contact.
Cooper did not watch that video and was actually rather upset that you saw fit to send it to the DM, but...
Oh, my bad.
I saw someone go, oh yeah, saw the slow-mo of KD's calf popping. And then like 50 people retweeted. I was like, what is wrong with you folks?
Yeah, I saw it too. Yeah.
We're all seeing this. I hope everyone noticed. I blocked, I think, the Undefeated on Twitter because they tweeted it out. And I was like, what is happening? Just stop.
Will also blocked me.
Yes. Jared and I cannot hear each other right now.
I'm guessing what's happening, as is Will.
We just synced up a lot over the first 20-ish episodes, so we have a pretty good feel for it. But
it's incredible for me to win this, really.
This is team chemistry at its finest. This is what the Warriors need.
Jared, what would you give for Game 6 is about to start, and then all of a sudden the lights go out and a spotlight goes on the tunnel and out comes Mo Spates.
Ooh.
I was going to say Festus Ezeli, but
what would you give?
$20.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I'm not full of money right now.
All right.
Possibly, possibly a finger if I could donate that or something.
Fourth quarter timeout, 2.5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Warriors down 4.
Okay.
Lights go out. Okay. Come back on. 4 Warriors players on the court.
Okay.
You're looking around for the fifth guy. He rappels down from the ceiling.
Okay.
It's Anderson Varejão. Warriors.
Oh!
I mean, what would you give?
I don't know. I probably wouldn't give.
Send him back. Pull him back up. The greatest warrior to ever put on the uniform, Anderson Varejão.
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
I was really hoping you were going to say Matt Barnes. I'd be like, some defense. Okay.
It's game 7. Mm-hmm. It's time. The Warriors have called timeout.
Okay.
They're down 2. 5 seconds left. Their ball. Lights go out. Lights go back on.
Okay.
Sure. Has sent out no players except for present-day Chris Mullin.
All right, now we're talking.
Inbounded off of the Raptors' backs to himself.
Okay.
And then take the game winner. But it's, I mean, we're talking present-day Chris Mullin here. So, what would you get?
Does he make the shot?
We're talking about present-day Chris Mullin. I think
you know. Come on, Chad.
I win. I'd give an angry letter written by my lawyer.
Okay, okay. It's game seven.
All right.
Draymond Green is driving down 1. He goes up for a dunk on Kawhi. Midair, lights go out.
Oh yeah.
Lights come back on. Draymond is replaced with Baron Davis.
And Laura Dern.
And Laura Dern.
Okay, okay.
Tag teaming a dunk.
So he's still mid air.
Still still midair. Yes.
Long, he's been in the air long enough for the lights to come back out and back on noticeably.
Yes. Laura Dern has held him up.
Oh, I thought he was being suspended midair by like a UFO. The UFO that he claimed abducted him.
Yeah. All right.
No disrespect by that. Just saying. People forget. He said he was abducted by aliens.
People do forget that. I forgot that.
He has said this.
Check this out.
Okay.
It's 3 minutes left. Game 9. Series tied. 4-4. The score is 150 to 155. Warriors down 5.
Okay.
Key moment. Steve Kerr calls timeout. Right when the whistle blows, lights go out. Lights come back on. Steve Kerr's gone. In his place, holding the clipboard, Don Nelson. What would you give?
$2? I don't know.
All right, that's fair.
seems like market value.
Is it too late for the Warriors to get Swaggy P back on the court?
I think J.R. Smith is still available.
Ooh.
Okay.
Anything to get Swaggy P to stop tweeting during these games would be fine with me, so.
Yeah, we just need a couple more threes. Or at least a couple more threats for threes.
Yeah, it was staggering watching like Iguodala have to get subbed off the court for Quinn Cook on offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andre like legit won't shoot anymore. He's like, it's bad. Like, it's not that he necessarily should be because he can't make them right now, but although he had one, at least.
Do you know that Andre had to talk Kevon Looney into leaving the game?
It sounds right. Kevon Looney, with how bad he looked when he was out there in terms of health, because he was still playing as hard as possible, mm-hmm. I assume he was going to have to die for him to leave the game.
Yeah, he looked like he was in pain, and he played pretty well.
It's like kind of. It's pretty lucky that Kevin Durant's the first. It's pretty lucky that Kevin Durant's the only one who's had this sort of play through an injury and then it goes bad type thing, or come back from an injury and then it goes bad. Considering like the performances we've had in these playoffs, where Kawhi versus the Bucks and Sixers looked like he couldn't use one of his legs for half the games.
Yeah, yeah.
And Looney's out there with like a fractured collarbone, and
Boogie missed most playoffs.
Yeah, Boogie came back from a bad like quad injury. Like,
Clay strained his hamstring.
There's been a lot of guys getting apparently almost all of them are on the Warriors, which is why they're in such a rough spot. But like, I was just thinking about it when it happened to KD, and it was like, oh man, I was like, wow, we spent just like the last two series like praising Kawhi for battling, like he would score and then have to like very visibly limp back up the court. It's like, he probably shouldn't be out there, man. Like, he wants to be.
Yeah.
And he's
still
managing to be good at basketball, which is the most shocking part of all. But dang.
And I feel like the way Kevin Durant got hurt makes me look back at that Kawhi playing really differently.
Yeah.
And I guess we can get into that too, since that's the other big piece of the discussion online.
People are, you talking about people doing what Bob Myers asked them to and blaming him?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. So for anyone who didn't see the Bob Myers press conference last night, it is, I wouldn't say I necessarily like recommended or anything, but it is quite an experience. I don't think I've ever seen a press conference like that.
No.
He came out with a statement prepared after like Steve Kerr wouldn't really answer any Kevin Durant questions and just said, I'm going to wait for Bob to do it. Came out with a statement prepared, and while like fighting back tears and through tears, he defended Kevin Durant as a person and a teammate.
Mm-hmm.
He gave an indictment for any people who were doubting him as a person or teammate, said they were wrong. And said that it was an Achilles injury, and we now know that they expect the MRI to say it's a tear. And then essentially went, we thought he was fine. Everyone did their job. Like, no one, we don't think anyone is to blame, but if you have to blame someone for this, blame me.
I think it, you know, a lot of people are saying otherwise because they do that online. I thought it was genuine.
Yeah.
And also the way he opened up his statement was just, it made me really sad because, you know, it was really genuine in the moment. And the very first thing he says is, it's an Achilles injury. He didn't say any, he just, that's his opening.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, everyone on the Warriors was like gut wrenched from this,
mm-hmm.
like from Steph to Clay to everyone. Like, and I'm not saying this in that they were over exaggerating things, but a neutral observer could have seen that and thought Kevin Durant was in like the ICU.
Yeah.
Like, it was, everyone was heartbroken. And I will say, watching that, Bob Myers press conference in the moment, I took it as genuine. Maybe I'm naive. That's always a distinct possibility. But I will say, if it wasn't, he is a way better actor than I ever expected Bob Myers to be.
Yeah.
He was in the back going like, oh, I need to convincingly cry for this, and I really need to give a great performance to save my own skin. He did a great job.
It's, yeah. And I mean, I don't think we've seen anything like that from a GM before.
Definitely not. That's absolutely the first time I've seen that. I will say it wasn't necessarily funny, but it would have been in a happier time. When the reporter asked him, why did you say we should blame you? And he just kind of let out a like tortured, I'm the president of basketball. And I was like, that's a really fun quote if it wasn't about this.
Man thinks he's LeBron James.
This guy over here thinks he's the president of all basketball. Okay, buddy.
Okay, Bob. No man named Bob is the president of basketball in any way.
Mm-hmm. Robert Myers, maybe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I could hear that. So yeah, but this sucks.
Yep.
To me, at least.
So Kevin Durant's options this offseason now are either sign his player option to stay with the Warriors, which is like $31 million, yeah. I think.
And it'll very much complicate the offseason for the Warriors.
For the Warriors, yes. Yeah. And it's kind of a domino effect on other guys too, but if we're just talking the Warriors, that would make life a lot harder for them because he's probably, you know, I'm sure it's a similar road that Boogie had to take, mm-hmm. where you're rehabbing most of the season, if not all of the season, and then he's just a free agent after that. So it'd kind of be like, I mean, he doesn't owe anybody anything. He can do whatever he wants, but it would suck for the Warriors as an organization and as a like just a team with a salary cap to have to absorb $31 million for an injured season.
And I don't think he would do that.
I don't think so either, but I don't know. Is a team like the Knicks or someone else gonna are they gonna offer him a 1-year deal, or is it gonna be like, hey, we'll offer you a 4-year deal, and like I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I'm no insider or anything, but I pretty much fully believe that a couple teams are still gonna offer this guy the max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would think so too. Like, it's different from Boogie too. Like, that's not really comparable because Kevin Durant's, like, without a doubt, a top 5 player in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think Kevin Durant could, like, have an arm fall off and someone would probably still offer him the max in free agency.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the thing with the Warriors option is, you know, all people say, like, if he's not getting max offers from teams he likes, you know, it's a good financial option. But, like, Kevin's chasing the money in the way to say, you know, for a team to offer max because that's what he's worth, right? Like, he doesn't need $30 million just for like the fuck of it,
right?
That's not him like chasing his worth. And when he's, you know, posting stuff while he's injured about like watching his brothers win, you know, watching this team win, I don't know if he would take you know, the team option, or I mean the player option, knowing that he'll complicate a lot of things for the Warriors this summer.
Yeah, I think if he does like truly just want to stay with the Warriors, he would like,
they'd work something out.
Decline the player option and like do what Boogie did and take like a minimum sort of deal for 1 year with the Warriors. Mm-hmm. If he just wants to like stay with the team, rehab with this team.
Oh man.
That would be the only other thing I could see him doing to stay with the Warriors.
Yeah. And like, I don't, if this is a tear, if this is like a full on tear, he's not playing for a whole season. There's no way.
Right.
Cause like with Boogie, it was way earlier in the season when he tore his.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is finals.
It was like before the All-Star game.
Yeah. This is as late as it can be.
So he rehabbed for like at least a full year. So yeah, Durant's just out for 2020 if it's that serious.
Yeah.
And then, which it appears to be.
Absolutely do whatever he wants, but I would be so mad. I would be so upset if he took a discount for the Warriors.
I would laugh all through the summer.
What their role in it was, no matter how much anyone is to blame or not, he got injured trying to help that organization win another championship and doesn't owe them shit.
No, he does not owe the Warriors anything at all.
And it's funny too, in a way, because the reason he has that, like the reason these stars sign those 1+1 deals is in case of essentially this happening. Like LeBron and KD and everyone who's done these one and one deals is you get the 1 year, it's essentially a 1 year deal, but you have that player option just in case this happens, basically. But he's so good, and there are a lot of teams with max space that I just really don't think he'll need it. I think someone's still going to throw him a long-term max because it'll be worth it to them to hope that they get the 3 years on the back end of it.
Yeah. Sure.
Does it convince someone? So the talk is that like KD and Kyrie are going to team up somewhere, whether it's the Knicks or the Nets or Clippers, or, you know, whatever, insert any team. Does that deter someone from like teaming up with Kevin Durant if they have to like wait a year to team up with him? Like if Kyrie goes to the Knicks and he's the only guy, but Durant also signs with the Knicks, like, yeah.
It probably does that. I don't know any current guy who wants to use a year of their prime waiting for him to get healthy.
Right.
But still, my favorite scenario is I want a team who's not that good right now to sign him and tank for a year.
Yeah.
Just have the Knicks do it or whatever and have them tank for another year. It's not like they'll be any good if he's not playing anyway. And then pair somebody interesting with him at least.
Sure.
Yeah, this could change a lot of things for the league. But I don't know. We don't have a full detailed diagnosis yet either. But I mean, it's bad. We know it's bad.
Yeah. Let's shift gears a little bit. I think we talked about it last. We may have touched on it last episode. But how are we feeling about the chances of Kawhi staying in Toronto versus leaving Toronto now? I think, Will, I remember you saying you were like 50-50 on what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Is it any different now? Is it any different if the Raptors win the finals versus not?
I'm not sure it is, to be honest. I felt like the thing the Raptors desperately needed to do on their part was like show him they could get to this stage.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if them winning the finals or not makes it any more or less likely. And honestly, I could see a scenario where they win the finals and he just pieces out because he's like, all right, I gave you that, and moves on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. And I think he has a better chance of staying if they end up losing the finals.
I can see it. Like,
because he's like, oh, like we were that close. Like now I got it. You know, I don't know. That's how I would feel, but Kawhi does not feel like...
Right, it's how competitive is he.
Yeah, it's funny because it's always weird weighing these things because from all accounts, like, he's the most, like, incredible competitor. Everyone's, all he wants to do is play basketball, and all he wants to do is be the best and win. And you'd think if he loses this, he would know his best chances to stay in Toronto. But it's like, I think, father of the pod, Adam Davis said, these guys don't really, I don't think they look at other teams that aren't that good and say, like, oh, if I go there, they won't be championship caliber. I think they just assume that anywhere they go is championship caliber.
Because sure. Guys at that level, for sure.
Yeah, like Kawhi's,
I mean, got that, has to be part of what LeBron assumed going to LA. Like,
yeah, and it, I think
it's, I don't think he thought this past season was going to be as bad as it ended up being. I thought he'd be like, you know, wait, it'll be a year or two process, but I'll be back in the finals soon. Like, that's what he's thinking going there.
I assume Kawhi looks at the Clippers and goes, put me on that team and they'd be in the finals too.
Yeah. So especially they, like, looking at how good they were against the Warriors in the first round.
Right? So
picture them with him. That's really good defense.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned it last week too. Like, if Kawhi leaves, he was never going to stay in Toronto. Like, he was going to go to LA or wherever, like, from the beginning.
Did you see that some billionaire firm or whatever offered him, they would match the max offer that the Raptors could offer him and pay him that all the way up front as well?
Oh, that's so weird.
That is weird.
Along
that
with
feels,
a
that
free
feels
penthouse.
Illegal.
Along with a free penthouse.
Yeah.
That feels like bribery.
I hate the extra incentive stuff. Like, even when they're just doing that you can eat free in the city for life, I hate all that stuff. Like, either he likes it, either he wants to be there or he doesn't, man. But don't. It's so weird. Like, I'll give you an extra $200 million out of my own pocket.
It's like they know he's not going to stay. And they're, like,
yeah,
giving him these, like, ludicrous offers.
It's also, like, it's kind of funny.
And then when he leaves, they're like, oh, look how ungrateful he really is. This guy
it's
doesn't even take
funny.
$200 extra million.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I feel like, I mean, personally, at a certain point, like, money is money, right? $200 million,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
the difference between $200 million and $400
yeah.
million.
Yeah, and it's funny thinking about that. Small. Yeah, it's funny thinking about that with a guy who, like, when he was with the Spurs, with his, like, huge contract, was still driving his, like, high school truck to practice.
Yeah, like a used 96 GMC or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, how much does he care about the money?
That said, every time it usually comes down to these things. People want every damn cent they can get.
I mean, know your worth, at least, right? Yeah. Like, I get that.
Like he's not going anywhere for less than a max deal.
Like, it cracks me up when guys say, like, it always, I get it, but it gets to me a little bit when teams, they're like, this team almost just barely doesn't have, like, two full max slots. They're like, they need to shave $800,000 in salary to be able to open, to be able to get a full second max slot. It was always kind of like, they really couldn't get a guy to take that minus $800,000.
Right.
Fire the concession staff so yeah. We can sign this man.
They're like, we're $4 away from a second max slot. And I was just like, how does that matter? But it always does.
It's the, yeah, oh, I got a max deal. Not like, oh, I took a discount to come to this team. Even however small of a discount.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I did see also someone had taken, it might have been Zach Lowe, and it might have just been some random basketball Twitter person, but I thought it was a good one where they're like, man, how did, like, the Nuggets watch this Kawhi Raptors year and don't convince themselves to go try for Anthony Davis? Like, this is such a good, this year is for the Raptors is such a good advertisement for going all in for a year.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to completely mortgage your future, and the Raptors didn't. But you can give up some important pieces to try to up, like, You couldn't tell me that the Nuggets with Anthony Davis wouldn't have a good shot at the West next year. The West is feeling pretty open. Like, the Warriors are still going to be there.
And in the last 5-6 years, for sure.
For sure. But, like, yeah, they've got a legit – there's a chance to come out of the West next year. It might not happen for any team that's not the Warriors, but there's a chance.
Yeah, there's a real chance.
So – why wouldn't they want to go all in on it and try it for a year? And again, maybe at the end of that year, when if you make the finals, that guy goes, oh, this place is pretty good. Or maybe you make the finals or you win it all and he doesn't think this place is all that good, but you went to the finals. Like, it's worth it.
Also, yeah.
Maybe you squeak into the playoffs and then Paul George is like, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah. Maybe that happens too. Like,
maybe that's enough.
I want teams to go for – that's my favorite – for a team that I have not enjoyed, that's what I've loved about Daryl Morey's Rockets, at least, that in a time where everyone just was so scared of the damn Warriors, he actively tried to win it all.
Yeah.
It didn't work. Yeah. And they fucked up. But he went in and created a team that went toe-to-toe with the Warriors. And it was just so much better than everyone else giving up because the Warriors were good.
No, yeah, like the Rockets or not, I definitely respect what Morey did. And then saying, like, run it back.
Yeah, he went for it.
I'm making sure that we can.
And he failed, and sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But, god damn it, at least he went for it.
Yeah, not a bad attempt, especially changing things up in the middle of the season.
Yep. And, I mean, in 2017 or whatever, they were, or 18, whatever year they, I guess, yeah, last year. Mm-hmm. In 18, they were theoretically one horrible run of missed threes away from just going on and winning an NBA title.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, it happens, and you fail sometimes, but I love it. He went for it, and it didn't work out. The Raptors have gone for it, and so far I think it's worked out. I'm dead certain it's worked out whether they win it all or not. It'd be depressing not to win it all now.
I think also, you know, say a team does what the Raptors did, right? And the star, you know, you know, they're in the finals, and then the star guy, the rental, leaves. I feel like that still makes you look really good to free agents.
Yeah,
like,
you're willing
sure,
to try.
This amazing guy left, but, like, someone, you know, do you want to try and fill the spot?
Mm-hmm. If you think you're as good as he is, then come on and we'll go to the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe guys think, oh, if I come to your team, you're just going to trade me away for the superstar. So why would I come there? But maybe you're thinking, I'm the superstar. I'm the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think NBA guys are that egotistical, you know?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
That was good.
You had me for
a second. Hold on. Stop the show.
I was literally just going to say Mario Chalmers existed. I will forever respect the hell out of Mario Chalmers for believing he was the best player on the Miami Heat when he was on the same team as LeBron, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh.
I'm just thinking about the time Raymond Felton said he was an elite point guard.
Hell yes.
That was like
pretty recently.
Yeah, this was just like a few years ago.
It was just playoff.
It was not while he was at North Carolina. It was recently.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Speaking of North Carolina boys, it's players picking up their player option season. It's my favorite time of year when guys have a player option that everyone in the world knows they're going to pick up, and then there's just like three fans who are kind of hoping they don't because it's a lot of money. Marvin Williams picked up his $15 million player option for next
Hell
year.
Yeah. Get that money, Marvin.
And it's like it's just always the same thing, like Shams or Woj announces it. It's like, yeah, he did. He got $10 million more than he was going to get on the open market. No one ever thought he would.
And then he gets traded.
Mm.
Calling it now.
I will trade Jan Mahimi for him.
Okay. Before we move on, I know Joe has a throwback still, right?
I do, yeah. I've got some other just takes and tweets and posts that I saw throughout the week that I just want to rattle off eventually.
Before we step out of finals for now, well, I know we talked before about Team Doctor's issue stuff. I mean, and that's a big topic right now anyways, so we mm-hmm. might as well just get this out of the way. Because, you know, everyone, with the KD injury, everyone wants to blame someone, which, you know, it makes sense. I get it. You know, is it pressure from the teammates? Is it, you know, poor management? Poor doctor issues? I also want to know what you two think, if you have any opinions on that. Since everyone online seems to have an opinion of some sort, but you two seem more reasonable as people.
Yeah, as if.
Prove me wrong.
Well, first of all, I think Kevin Durant should go to jail.
Okay.
His fault. And he ruined the game 5 of the finals.
Okay.
So. I want a full investigation into Kevin Durant's tweets. All of them. Okay. All of them.
I'm listening.
There's got to be something there. Mine is basically, I think the one thing we can rule out is the team, like, quote-unquote, forcing him to play. Mm-hmm. Because I very much doubt there's, like, anything Kevin Durant wanted more than to play in the NBA Finals.
Right.
And that's from reports from anyone who's ever known the guy, is that's what he's like. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he wanted to play. I don't have a super strong take right now. I would like as much information as possible into what happened.
Yeah.
And the exact process that got followed and where everyone thought he was. Because if he really wasn't ready and they knew there was a significant risk of that injury, then I would put it on the team to stop him from playing. If there wasn't that significant a risk, then I don't know. I suppose at some point there's a line of where the risk is small enough or big enough to play or not play. But I don't have anyone to blame right now because I don't know what happened. But if it does come out that that it was somewhat likely that would happen or his leg still wasn't totally right, then my blame would go to the team for not stopping him from playing. But no one forced that guy to play. Like, he was dying to be out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of that happened. So I don't, like I said, I don't have a lot of blame right now, but I would like as much information as possible. And I think I'll get it because this is the sort of stuff that's going to come out.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the only part I'm curious about is when Steve Kerr mentioned something about, like, we were told he wouldn't re-aggravate any injury or something like that. Like, he couldn't hurt his leg any worse, but you know, an Achilles injury is different than a calf injury. But if he's overcompensating for the hurt calf, maybe, you know, it puts more pressure on it. So I don't know, whatever. I'm just curious about that comment of, like, we were informed that he couldn't hurt his leg any worse. Like, you can always hurt yourself worse, no matter what. So yeah, I'm a little confused about that. But that's all.
Like, Steve, like, misspoke when he said that, because there's no way the two doctors told him that his leg couldn't get hurt anymore.
Right. Like, he could have snapped his leg in half, and then Steve Kerr's like, you told me he wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could you?
If the doctors did say that, they should be fired. But otherwise, yeah. I assume Steve just misspoke on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I know, it's the time we're recording this, it's not even been 24 hours. It seems very soon for anyone to say, like, this is someone's responsibility.
Right.
It's
just the day and age that we're in that
everybody wants
answers instantly and ultimate transparency and, you know, pull the curtain aside. I want to see the whole process of everything, like, now.
Yeah. And, I mean, if they felt reality. You know, if they cleared him to play yesterday and he felt good and felt like he could play, that is what it is. But if the doctors were wrong, that's a whole other issue. And the Warriors do have a new head trainer this year, which it's, you know, the last one, I forget her name, was really, really good while she was with the team before she went to the Hawks, right?
Yep.
So it's, you know, it's, I'm not blaming anyone or anything, or I just think it's pretty crazy now that she's gone, we have, like, the Warriors have the worst injury season that they've had in a while.
Yeah. And not to say that the current replacement training staff is bad, but, training staff matters is just training the moral staff. Of the story.
And, you know, in this offseason, if the team feels that maybe this new training staff is not up to par with what it should be, I don't have a problem. What do you lose by replacing them already?
Yeah. So it'll be a story if they get replaced, no matter how innocuous the reason is, because they will spin it to say, like, oh, in response to Kevin Durant's injury, Warriors fire training staff. Even if it's like an intern who had nothing to do with it, they like let go.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, wow, okay, they're firing people now.
Maybe it comes out that it was an intern who cleared Kevin Durant to play.
Ooh.
Just like an intern deflated Tom Brady's footballs. Or whatever.
I will say, and one thing that I don't think should be very controversial, and this does not just apply to the Warriors, it doesn't even just apply to the NBA, it applies to all, especially American sports. I don't know how they work as much in other countries. But this is another type of scenario, just like Kawhi last year, where it would be excellent to mandate, really, doctors that aren't owned by the team. Involved in the process. It would make everything a lot clearer and a better chance of looking out for the player a bit more. If, like I said, a team owned doctor seems to have a little conflict of interest in of itself, and that's obviously not a specific only to the Warriors thing. That's every major American sport.
Right.
An issue. Yeah.
We saw. And sometimes that does, it creates trust issues from a player to the team too, like we saw with Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're right. I think that'd be better for the league overall and for the players. And that's what it's about, protect the players.
For sure.
So that's, I don't know. I mean, also, Kevin Durant wants to play. I feel like it's really hard to say, nah, you can't do that. No, you cannot play in the finals.
I did. I know I sent it to you guys, but I really liked that old Don Nelson story that they saw where it was Dirk trying to play in the finals in like 2003. Mm-hmm. Not the finals, the like Western Conference finals.
We should retweet that.
It was in the playoffs against the Spurs earlier in Dirk's career. And he had like some torn ligaments in his knee or in his leg, and he really wanted to go. And Don Nelson just straight up tell him no. And like Mark Cuban was pissed. Everyone was pissed at the coach, at Nelson. They were all like, what the hell? We could win it all. And he goes, no. And I'm not going to play it. Dirk was dying too. So like, I'm not saying that's what everyone does in every scenario, but that story just in of itself, I thought was incredibly impressive for Don Nelson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great coach.
We want to talk about big playoff injuries. There were actually some updates from Paul Pierce himself about the wheelchair incident.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Pierce did live on air admit that he was wheelchaired out of, what year was this?
Wait, 07, I think, or 08. It was the 11-year anniversary of it. That's why they brought it up.
Yeah.
So I think it was 08.
He was wheelchaired out of there because he had to poop. He had to poop.
Or may have pooped already.
And they said, well, why did you need a wheelchair? And he said, something went down.
Down the hatch.
So that's, waiting for him to get fined for pooping himself. But that absolutely rules that he admitted to this.
I don't think that was planned on that show either. They brought it up just to kind of like rib him. And then he was like, I have a confession to make, like right into the camera. okay, what?
They looked very surprised.
Yeah. They almost like did not know how to handle that. That was awesome.
Paul Pierce continues to own himself on live TV.
Is this the start of his face turn? He's been getting massively more unpopular by like the minute as over the past couple of years. Is this where he turns it around by admitting that he shit himself in the NBA playoffs?
No.
Move.
The classic move. Every one of us who was ever unpopular knows how we got out of it. We admitted that we had shitted ourselves.
Man saw Draymond getting more attention. He said, "Hey, by the way, I pooped myself."
When I was getting bullied in middle school, that's what I did. I was just like, "By the way, everybody, I pooped myself in seventh grade." And they're all just like, "Wow, dog, respect for admitting that."
Yo, that's hard.
For real, though. They're like, "We didn't even know. That's what's so crazy, is you hit it so well." So I was like, "Yeah, I could show y'all sometime, maybe, if you want to know."
They said when they brought the wheelchair out.
We thought that the stretcher came out because we beat you so badly. And I was like, "Here's the thing, though. While you were beating me up, I shitted myself. Mud pie. And in fact, I probably could have walked away, but I got the stretcher so y'all wouldn't see the mud pie. But now I'm ready to admit it because that's just real life, my dog." And it was just nonstop respect from there on out, really.
That's hard. That's hard.
For real. So I hope that this podcast has fulfilled its true purpose, and any of our listeners out there who have shitted themselves can now admit it in very public settings.
This is a safe place.
To people who were not asking about it at all.
This is a safe place for you. Mm-hmm. We understand. It happens.
Say it at work. Say it on a recording. Wherever anyone is not asking you about if you ever shit yourself, tell them that you did. And that's the best advice I think I could ever give anyone.
Right. You know, you need that icebreaker, that first Tinder message.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I Paul Pierced myself in seventh grade math class.
In math class?
That was the part.
This is truly where amazing happens.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. What a ride. I've got a couple miscellaneous takes that I saw.
Okay.
Throughout the last couple weeks
Let's do it.
We've talked Kyrie a little bit. We've talked free agency a little bit. These two are tangentially related to those. This one comes from Reddit, from user Shitboots. Yeah. Okay. On the New York
Post. Was that Paul Reddit Pierce? Page. Paul?
Maybe Paul Pierce. Maybe. It says, "New plan if Kyrie doesn't come. Once in a lifetime opportunity." And then he's got some bullet points here. Trade the number 3 pick for pick 10 and Kevin Huerter. So that would be to the Hawks. Select Kevin Porter Jr. with pick 10. Sign Kevin Durant. After the Cavs buy him out, sign Kevin Love. Hire Kevin McHale as head coach. Feature Kevin Knox on offense. Potential Kevin starting lineup. Coached by Kevin.
I'm down.
I am fully on board with this plan. And, like, not a bad lineup.
It's really not that bad.
That's pretty solid.
Might have to try and make this happen in 2K.
I wish I had a thought that was less lame than just, who's the point guard, man? But that's all I got.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm here to shit on dreams.
This is the no fun zone.
If you could change any NBA player's name to Kevin, which one would you choose?
Kevin Leonard.
I would go with Kevin Bogdanovich.
Nice. How many fans would he lose if his name was Kevin Irving? Can you imagine if a dude named Kevin Irving was doing all this third eye stuff? One of the coolest on-court NBA players in the world, Kyrie Irving, tells you the world is flat, it's like, oh man, this guy here, he's something else. If NBA player Kevin Irving tells you the world is flat,
Okay, but, yeah. But check this out. Check this out. I like how it goes
from NBA superstar to NBA player Kevin.
Check this out, though. He would lose
his shoe deal if his name was Kevin.
Kevin James.
Kyrie is legit nice. That was excellent. I'm sorry, I almost glossed over that. Like, Kyrie is one of the most like perfect marriages of name to player that has ever happened, and if it was Kevin, it would just be ruined.
Absolutely.
All right, I've got another Kyrie related take. This comes to us from Instagram, the account Boss Celts, which is Celtics fan zone. Lots of followers and Uh-oh. Whatnot. Pretty popular Celtics account.
I believe that's Boss Celts. Sorry,
Boss Celts. Basalts. Basalts. Okay. The picture on Instagram is a photoshopped rendering of D'Angelo Russell wearing a Celtics jersey. And the caption is very long. I will try to speed through it here. How can you be upset if you're a Celtics fan right now? It's almost impossible to fail this summer. Very ominous words there. We can go in any direction and it will lead us to success. Kyrie's going to the Nets if he leaves, which puts us in a great position to sign D'Angelo. I mean, what other option gives him a better shot at making money and winning with a talented young team? Maybe the Nets? Just a thought.
I've never seen someone so excited to downgrade at a position.
If Kyrie goes elsewhere, we will still have a great chance to sign D'Lo. I would be extremely happy with this pickup. We get a young star player who's easy to coach, smart, and contrary to popular belief, isn't a locker room cancer. This guy would do so well under Brad. Just first name basis with Coach Brad. And would completely buy into his system. There's no issues there, and he could be molded into any player Brad thinks he's effective as. That's important in today's game. I wouldn't lose sleep if Kyrie left and we picked up D'Angelo. He had an amazing recent year, and people haven't realized how good he is yet.
There's a lot to unpack here. I like more. I wouldn't lose sleep if Kyrie left. It's like, yeah, because you know he's leaving anyways.
I think it's the second best usage of it's almost impossible to fail this summer, right after... when all of the people said it as they got on the Hindenburg that one time.
Right, they said it's impossible to fail this season, about the start of the season.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, then they boarded the Hindenburg.
He goes on. I really believe we could keep AD without Kyrie and pair him with D'Lo, or even keep the young guys and let them build chemistry together early. Imagine D'Lo, Tatum, Brown, and Williams all at their best. Deadly team, in my opinion. Apparently they're getting AD for nothing?
I like
in this scenario.
Also deadly, the Hindenburg.
Keeping AD before signing him is the best move of AD since the Bucks signed him in the middle of the season.
Great callback. It's just a waiting game in that scenario where patience is key. It's hard to believe, but he may even be a better option than Kyrie, based on what I said and the fact that it wouldn't be hard for him to get along with the guys. Players actually liking each other goes a long way, believe it or not. Huge W if we get our hands on him. Huge L if we end up with Conley, Chris Paul, or Ricky Rubio. Oh, and if I'm Danny Ainge, I still got my eyes on Pat Beverly as our second unit PG, hoping for the best.
Okay, well, first off, very offended at anyone being upset that Mike Conley is their point guard.
Very unneeded shots taken at Conley, CP3, and Rubio there. It really came out of nowhere.
Right.
Yep.
There's like huge W's all around. By the way, the biggest L possible if we sign any of these three guys.
There's one more added point that he probably had to edit in after like literally the first person commented on it. P.S. D'Lo's a restricted free agent, so there's a chance the Nets could match.
Just a chance.
Wait.
Just a chance.
I want to know the like size of that chance and how that's factored into how it's almost impossible to fail this summer.
Oh, there's more. I hope we don't sign him for the max, but for those wondering how we'd sign him, Kyrie leaving frees up $13 million, Horford opting out and signing a team-friendly deal frees up another $13 million. That's $26 million freed up. If we're also looking to add AD, we hope he agrees to a sign and trade, which he will.
This is crazy optimism.
That last sentence might be the most ridiculous one he said yet. AD hasn't said anything about agreeing to a sign and trade for anyone. Yeah. I think he's literally said he wants to undergo free agency.
This man didn't just board the Hindenburg. He designed it.
He's the pilot.
As long as our players who are making good money opt out of their contracts to make less money, we're set.
Yeah, our all-star player.
Team speak of like, he's on the Celtics. Why wouldn't he want to stay for any amount of money?
I like, what was the sentence in there? It's not hard to believe D'Lo being an upgrade from Kyrie. Narrator, it is hard to believe.
Bum, 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 bum. That's the Curb Your Enthusiasm music by me.
That's very good.
I was, of all the dumbass things said in that post, it did make me think. I've been thinking a lot about why the Celtics stunk so much this year relative to what they could have been. And I've been thinking about it because it's fun to think about that team stinking. But it is hilarious. It does seem like, I mean, he's, like I said, might be the only poignant thing he said, but it is wild how much like liking your teammates seems to matter. Because I think the number one biggest problem the Celtics had is that Gordon Hayward's not good anymore after his leg shattered.
Yeah.
I think that's really number one. But number two, I think, is just that they all hate each other. And it's wild that that hurt them that badly.
I think personality-wise, chemistry is huge.
Yeah.
But who... Yeah, and then when it's like that, it's really hard to blame one person if it's like a team-wide issue.
Yeah. I think it would be foolish to think that getting rid of Kyrie means all of these guys are suddenly good.
Yeah, like, that's, I don't think that's how it's going to work.
Locker room issues are rarely a one-fix kind of deal.
Right.
You can't just blame one guy. It's a team thing, except for Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Brad Stevens, whoever we pick in the draft, Robert Williams. Can't be any of those guys. They're young and good.
You'd think that a youth pastor, Coach Brad, could get his guys to get along.
So what are the chances they bring IT back?
Interesting.
Because he said he's down.
Oh, he's totally down.
He definitely
I would love a return to form of IT.
Oh, me too. Amazing.
The Celtics were such a fun team when he was like their all-star point guard.
King of the fourth?
Ugh. I do have a retro take, quick, if we want to dive into that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
First, baby.
It's a brisk one. And it's Kevin Durant related, so we'll go with that. This comes to us from the year 2008, or maybe 2009. The question was asked one decade ago. Let's see, 2009, February 2009. Okay, the question is, Kevin Durant or Josh Smith, who is better?
I mean... If you wanted that take, you could have found it on my Twitter feed yesterday.
Any thoughts? Any takes you guys have before we dive into the answers?
Yeah, I think even with a torn Achilles, KD might be better. Right now.
Right now than peak Josh Smith?
On crutches. In a boot.
With? Am I forgetting when Josh Smith got drafted? This seems like a random-ass question.
Josh Smith got drafted in 2004 or 2005, I believe.
So KD should have gotten drafted
2007 or 2008 Yeah.
Yeah. So
a couple years later.
This is like a guy who's, I guess it makes sense. I thought it was closer, maybe a little bit closer to KD's draft, but it's like a guy who just had 1 year in the league versus a guy who's had four.
Basically.
Fair enough. I mean, I got a lot of love and respect for Josh Smith, so I'm going to be pondering this one for a while. He got drafted too early. He came into the league too early, man. Now he'd kill it.
The quote-unquote best answer goes on to say, Josh Smith is a better defender, but I think Durant is better simply because the guy is an offensive machine who is only going to get better. He's improved a lot from his rookie year. He has so many offensive weapons, and if he bulks up with his quickness and wingspan, he could be an above-average defender as well. To me, Durant is a franchise player to build around. As good as he is, I don't think Josh Smith will ever be a franchise player. Pretty poignant, pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Good. Bad news about for this guy about KD bulking up, but everything.
Yeah, that was. I think everybody says that about the guys that are rookies and everything else, like young guys. Like, oh, if he bulks up, he'll be good.
If
like,
Zion bulks up,
if he bulks up, he won't be able to shoot. So he probably wouldn't want that.
Anyone who has Kevin Durant's frame should not be expected to bulk up. Just treat Giannis as the exception and move on.
Right. Yeah. Some of the other answers are a little aged less well, we'll say. First answer from Anonymous. Great choice there, sir. Durant is a beast on offense, but Smith is very good at defending, and he has had more experience in the NBA. So I picked Josh Smith. Because Durant plays for a joke of a team.
Got him.
Okay.
Where's the lie?
Well.
Sounds like no one can find it.
I'm looking for it right now.
Josh Smith gives more entertainment, and his performance is pretty close to Durant's. And I like his name better, so I'll go with Smith.
You like Josh Smith better?
Not that.
This man's Kevin white Durant. As hell.
Anything special, but just who even thinks about Josh Smith's name?
Josh Smith? Come on.
Josh Smith is by far the better all-around player. I am not impressed by Durant's game by far. His offensive stats are deceptive because he is on a team with limited offensive go-to guys, so he could pad up his own offensive stats. What is he, Blake Bortles?
Wow, did that not age well at all.
On a competitor, he would be a 14 to 15 points per game player, which is great if he has something to fall back on. But he is weak and needs to hit the weight room, does not defend, rebound, or assist, still needs to work on his game. Jay Smooth is sick. He can do it all very well and has many great years ahead.
This might be one of the most poorly aged takes we've had.
I love that one. That guy was...
It has two thumbs down votes.
Joe, you have to stay partial. You cannot give it a third.
Give it a third.
That is... He really went in on KD there. He got kind of mad.
Damn.
I thought it was going to be like, Andy's ugly and his dog died and...
He must have gotten bullied by someone named Kevin before.
I mean, that's embarrassing in and of itself.
I know.
I will go with Josh Smith, as he plays great defense and a terrific shot blocker. He can also score when he needs to, as opposed to Kevin Durant.
I know I don't remember this era of the NBA better than most, but I'm finding it very hard to believe that Josh Smith was a terrific shot blocker.
He was, actually. He was great for a number of years. I remember.
I can maybe imagine him being like a Hassan Whiteside one where it's like not all that helpful, but I like Josh Smith. These guys think he's really good at defense. Good heavens.
Josh Smith first averaged for blocks a game 1.9, 2.6, 2.9, 2.8, 1.6.
It's a lot of block.
He played a lot of games, so he could block. I remember this because in senior year of high school, I did a statistics project on the correlation between player height
and the amount of blocks per game they averaged. And Josh Smith was kind of an anomaly because he was 6'9", which was relatively short, but averaged like 3 blocks a game, which was a lot.
Damn.
All right.
But like, Manute Bol averaged, you know, about the same amount of blocks a game, but was a foot taller.
I concede. You're right. He's better than Kevin Durant.
Yep.
Thank you. That was all I was trying to convince you of.
Yep. And will continue to be.
I will take defense over offense any day. Josh Smith.
Well,
guy must be a big Ben Wallace fan too. As am I.
I mean, KD can't defend right now, so.
It
aged well, actually.
It's accurate.
We will defend Kevin Durant since can't do it right here on the cast.
That's Kevin. Your retro take for the week.
Kevin, why?
Borderline thinker, also.
Man.
Much to think about.
Why, Kevin? Sorry, my sadness is flashing up.
It's good to like know that before Twitter was like really big, people were still firing off these wild ass takes about guys who were like very obviously going to be stars.
Right.
Like, we always pretend like this didn't happen in the past. Like, oh, Twitter is so bad about this because, and don't get me wrong, I'm no fan of Twitter, but it's always like, oh, only here do people take these stars, like these young stars in the making, and just shit on them for no reason. It's nice to see that, hey, man, if we didn't have Twitter, we'd just be on Yahoo Answers saying that young superstars are garbage.
Yeah, yeah. People have had terrible takes for...
Since the dawn of time, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I could go back to the 1970s and hear someone like watching Pete Maravich in college and just go, this guy's going to suck once he gets to the league.
Right.
Yeah, but they'd be right.
Right. When Eve ate the apple and said, Steph Curry's just a gimmicky player.
That's canon. That's in the Bible.
That's canon. Oh.
It would be really fun to go back and hear like the takes about Michael Jordan in like 1986.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you know that dude was getting obliterated.
Just gotta be newspaper opinion, like written in opinions and shit, or sent in opinions. Sorry. There's gotta be something we can find.
Maybe
decrees nailed to church doors.
Well,
I was just thinking we could ask if there was anyone who was like alive back then, but. That's a long shot.
Boomers? Get boomers on here? I don't think so.
Hell no. There's no way anyone is still around who was alive in the 80s, man.
Well, the draft is in, what, 9 days?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That is what? Soon. Are we going? Are we doing our draft spectacular? Live draft spectacular?
That's what we're planning on.
I'm hoping it'll be good. We're going to have a boatload of guests.
Yeah, we're going to try to call up
every team represented if we can.
If we this can.
Is trying to like make sure we do it and back ourselves into a corner.
Yep, that's what we're doing.
Yep.
We will
at least try to get a guest for each 2 minutes on the clock for the first round. We'll do it live, unedited.
We'll do it live.
We'll just do it live.
So, look out for that, I guess. We got any ending thoughts? Anything else?
Follow us on Twitter. Send us the takes you find.
At a full court mess. Well, before we go, how do you guys see this final series ending?
I think the Raps end it in Oracle.
Man.
I think I'd prefer for the Raps to win in 7, but it's going to be really hard for the Warriors to win that game. Huge props to them if they do.
Yeah. I mean, they've won one game completely without KD in Toronto. So, like, that gives me hope, but it's going to be rough, but I would love for at least a last win at Oracle.
Yeah, I mean, it seems, like, impossible for them to go winless at Oracle in a series, but...
Right, so...
Cool. I think the real winners, the fans.
Not the Raptors fans.
No.
Not after what we saw last night.
No.
No.
Fan qualifications rescinded.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, I hate to give it to Drake, but he seemed like the most reasonable fan there that night. Says a lot. Zilch, I'm calling you out.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Just kidding. Zilch, you're fine.
Making amends.
Far as I know. I didn't see Zilch there or in any of the videos celebrating KD's injury, so.
You know. Jared building bridges, not walls.
Right. End this with a thinker.
Do it.
Y'all ready for this?
I'm ready.
This one has one like on it.
Ooh,
this is from
a great thinker.
Right. Yeah. This from January 2012. Raptors star Kyle Lowry tweeted, "Officially, I'm done washing my hands. I'm through." Through is spelled T-H-R-E-W. Can't watch it. That's it. I don't know what that's referring to, but. Wash your hands. Wash your hands, man. That's unfair. Gross. Unfair. Gross. And that's your thinker. Thanks for listening. Please remember that we love you.
Thank you very much.